When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Harvey, we need to talk.
Don't tell me there's a problem.
There is.
What is it now?
It's not that big of a deal, but you're going to have to figure out what font to use to put my name on the letterhead. Because as of 2 p.m. today, Robert Zanes Klein is officially dropping the manufacturing division.
You telling me you did it?
Signed, sealed, and delivered, my man. Now let's get down to figuring out.
What? How to counter my last move? Because you may have them signed and sealed, but I'm here to tell you, your delivery got lost on the way.
Who the hell are you?
Her name is Sam Wheeler.
Truth be told, Alex, I prefer Samantha.
You two know each other?
No, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out she's Zane's guy.
He didn't figure it out.
What I figured out is, whoever you are, if you think you can waltz into my office...
Harvey, I got it.
Do you? Because unless I'm misreading the situation, she's saying you don't.
Harvey?
You know what? You two are obviously having some trouble. The good news is you'll have plenty of time to work it out because as of end of business today, your client is dropping their manufacturing division. And we can get back to the business of running this firm under the direction of Robert Zane. You two have a nice... Ugh, you know, I don't mean it.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, this is my fight. You asked me to fight it, and I'm not gonna let you step in the middle of round two.
It may be the middle of round two, but you just told me you got a first round knockout.
Well, I was wrong, but I'm still in the ring, my partnership's on the line, and I'm not getting out.
Then you better win.
Where are you going?
To pick a fight in my own weight class.
Dude, season 8, episode 1 is over. And if you're ready to hear us talk about right-hand man, then suits yourself. I'm Rob Sestrino back here with the guy whose worlds are colliding. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I don't know. I'm great, I guess. This suits doesn't feel the same. This is new. This is shiny. We got a new intro. Did you see it?
Intro as well. We have a new cast here, main characters. Everything is new.
Everything's different. Mike and Rachel are just a distant memory.
We're
for
the
a
same.
Lot of these characters.
They come up a lot.
They come up a couple times, but this isn't about them. This is about our new and improved season 8 of Suits, where we have our new intro. We have, like you said, a new cast of characters. My mouth fell open when I saw Katherine Heigl's name in the credits originally that she was coming. And then I thought she would probably be like a guest star, mm-hmm. right? But then her name is up there with Dulé Hill now, who is also in the main cast.
Okay, so for the first time in 7 seasons of Suits, or 8 seasons of Suits, that our main cast is different. Out Patrick J. Adams, out Meghan Markle. And we have 2 additions to the Suits main cast. First, one that probably should have been in the main cast earlier than that. Amanda Scholl as Katrina Bennett, main cast.
About time. You go off, Katrina. Give us more Katrina content, because Katrina has been here with us for a very, very long time, and she's finally catching that upgrade. She just needed to get Rachel and Mike out of the way.
Okay. And then also in the main cast, then Dulé Hill, what goes from special guest star all last season to in the main cast.
Yes. Prepared to put the team on his back and carry this show across the finish line all the way through season 8 and season 9, I'm assuming.
Okay. And then, also, out of nowhere, brand new character, straight to the main cast, Katherine Heigl as Samantha Wheeler.
Yep. This happened. I was, again, stunned. You know, Katherine Heigl is somebody who had a very interesting career in television where she did play Izzy Stevens in Grey's Anatomy for a while until she left Grey's Anatomy to go do more serious acting like the Ugly Truth with Gerard Butler, 27 mm-hmm. Dresses, and all of your most serious acting ventures. And so to see her come back in Suits, I was very shocked. Yeah.
Okay, so and that's why I reference the Worlds Are Colliding. Chappelle, a Grey's Anatomy podcaster, super fan. Okay, well, what's your opinion on Katherine Heigl?
I think Katherine Heigl's great as an actress. You know, I think that, you know, some of her off-screen antics and stuff like that back in the day were highly talked about in the news and the media and stuff
highly
like that.
Highly talked about, but like, do you have like anecdotes? Like, I don't want to be potentially, just propagate rumors. Like, are there well-documented issues? Like, I feel like that she is notoriously hard to work with, but, you know, as we continue to evolve, I don't want to necessarily perpetuate a stereotype that may or may not be true.
Yeah, I think the idea back in the day was that Katherine Heigl was given a lot of good content on Grey's Anatomy, and that her and her mom, who I think was looked at as a momager at the time, a mom manager, if you will, were saying that, you know, maybe she was not given a lot of great content, whereas like the public was saying like, nah, Grey's Anatomy is very heavily on, you know, the Izzy Stevens train, but she left to go do some more serious acting. And so I think, yeah, she had gotten some negative press, people saying that she was difficult to work with. Again, I wasn't there working with her, so I don't know how true all that stuff is, but I do know it was like surrounding her exiting the show. And the show brings, like, she doesn't really, like, she's not like, it's like a horrible exit from the show. The show kind of like lets her just go. But I think for a while it felt like Katherine Heigl might have been somebody who Hollywood wasn't, you know, very high on. And then again, like I said, some of her roles once she left Grey's Anatomy really didn't just like move the needle a lot to say, oh, yo, this is our next A-list celebrity series actor. Like, had she just stayed on Grey's, I think she could have had whatever she wanted. At least that was from the outside looking in. And so it always felt like her mom was the one pushing her away from working with Grey's and okay. other stuff. At least that was like the popular thought at the time. I personally like Katherine Heigl as an actress. And so I'm excited to see what she brings to the table here on Suits.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess the thought was she felt like there were going to be greener pastures outside of Grey's Anatomy, specifically like in movies. She stars in a lot of movies while she's in Grey's Anatomy. Knocked Up, 27 Dresses. Then she ends up like not necessarily finding like a huge success as a leading lady outside of Grey's Anatomy. She goes back to TV for a couple of different stints. She does a show called State of Affairs in 2014 on NBC. Then in 2017, she gets another shot at a show that she is, looks like another lawyer show. It's called Doubt on CBS. She's one of the leads there. Interestingly, Doubt stars Katherine Heigl and Dulé Hill.
There you go.
And Laverne Cox.
Oh, okay. Now we got the Doubt crew here. I mean, I wonder if we're getting the Laverne Cox cameos, but yes.
Interesting, right? Doubt. Another lawyer show with Katherine Heigl and Dulé Hill?
Maybe they were a package deal. Maybe Dulé said, gotta bring
this is like a
Catherine
romance?
In.
Like, then they're going head to head here in this episode also.
Yeah, they are. So the story is that Katherine Heigl was a big fan of Suits. And she really wanted to be a part of the show. And so her mom actually kind of instigated the move that she would call the show creators. And so they did. The two called the show's creators and just basically said, I want to be on the show. And they didn't know if there was going to be if it was going to be going into an eighth season or not. But she was just like, let me just call. and see if they need anybody. And if so, she's totally available. So she pitched herself for this role and then she got it. So there you go. So that's the power of advocating for yourself. So by the time season 8 started, she had already locked up this role.
Okay. All right. So there you go. There is Katherine Heigl here. Now, interestingly, also, you would expect, all right, well, wait, Wendell Pierce, Robert Zane, he's got to be in the main cast here. No, a guest star.
Yeah, maybe, which is weird, right? Because this episode is going to largely surround Robert Zane trying to find his place here at Zane Spectre Lit Spectre Zane. As long as Lit is last, I guess it doesn't, it's like, whatever. But and by the end of this episode, it does look like Robert Zane is going to be the managing partner of Zane Spectre Lit. So you would think he'd get the upgrade to the main cast. This leads me to believe that maybe Zane Spectre Lit is not going to last very long, and maybe we won't see Robert Zane as much as we think we will.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's these things that about special guest star versus like main cast. Like, I do think that there are like financial considerations and also like time commitments. So I don't know if necessarily if it's like, okay, were Suits not able to like have a seventh person in the main cast? Wendell Pierce like want more than they were willing to give him? Did he have other like work commitments that he was not able to commit to a certain number of episodes? Because I think what it comes down to is like, if you are like a special guest star or maybe they're getting you for like 8 episodes as opposed to 16 episodes. Main cast, I think, is like you're contracted to be like in every episode. But if for whatever reason they wanted like flexibility to not have him like in every single episode, then maybe that we'll see if like how much we see Robert Zane in season 8.
I have my conspiracy hat on.
Yes.
Rob.
What do you think?
I don't think we're going to see a lot of Robert Zane. I think at the end this episode, Robert Zane is seemingly the name partner, and I don't think it's going to last. And I have some theories why.
Yeah. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, as we get into this episode, we do have to talk about that. That is like the primary conflict here. Harvey's back. He's okay with the move that Lewis made to make Robert Zane a name partner. But where does the name go and who's going to be the managing partner is the real drama here. And so we see Harvey kind of playing himself into a corner, doing Harvey things and letting everybody believe that maybe you shouldn't be managing partner. Robert Zane being the more seasoned name partner and kind of like letting Harvey dig his own grave the entire time and saying, okay, Harvey is going to Harvey. And so eventually the dust is going to clear and I'm going to be the clear example for managing partner. But Rob, through this episode, I thought we got a lot of very pro Lewis Litt content.
Mm-hmm.
And Lewis Litt has now, to me, stepped into the role of Jessica Pearson in this episode to where the girls are fighting. Yeah. And Lewis is out of it. People are coming to Lewis for advice. Lewis directing traffic a little bit. I am shocked to see that Lewis is not more invested in who is going to be managing partner. I know it looks like it would be a long shot for it to be Lewis, but this episode, by the end of it, I was thinking, are they trying to show us that Lewis Litt should be managing partner? Because prior to this, I wouldn't have said yes. But based on this episode, I think the show is hinting at it.
See, I really like the idea of Robert Zane as managing partner. That would certainly be my pick of the people that are out there. But that is an interesting point about Lewis. Just one other thing about Wendell Pierce. It looks also like, and I always like to look at like what other work are they doing at the time. So Wendell Pierce is also a part of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, which I think is on Prime, which I think started in 2018. So I think there is some overlap there. So I don't know if maybe it was just like an availability issue where they could not get Wendell Pierce as a series regular because he is with John Krasinski as a like second lead. He's listed as the second star on Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. So maybe that's a better opportunity for Wendell Pierce where he's like, okay, I can do some Suits, but really my top priority is going to be to Jack Ryan at this point in time. But that being said, like, it really would make a lot more sense, like from the show's standpoint and like from the experience standpoint that, you know, Robert Zane knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's good. This guy's good. And Wendell Pierce does too, right? I think if you have the opportunity to make him a series regular, you do it. And so maybe you're right. Maybe there's a contract requirement where he's like, I can't give that time to you or whatever. But I'm thinking if you got to pick this between this and Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
I think you picked this.
Because I don't think that the Jack Ryan show is shooting in Toronto, York.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of like he's got to do some traveling, you know, and so he can't be committed to this completely. But I do think that he's such a big name. You know, we talked about this when he first came on the show, but I am a huge Wendell Pierce fan, and I think he's a legendary actor. So if you can get him as a season regular, you do it. You put his name up there on the marquee. You tell people Wendell Pierce is going to be here. And so maybe they couldn't get him. But whatever the case may be, we have him for a limited time, it seems. And I'm loving it right now.
It just seems like that he's the only person that has like the gravitas to tell Harvey, like, do you know what the hell you're doing right now? Like, do you like get back out there? And I like the idea of Harvey not being the managing partner, where like, let Harvey be Harvey. You know, sometimes you have a person who is, you know, a good coordinator, but not necessarily going to be a good head coach. And so I think that Harvey really fits in that. Like, he is much better as a lawyer, as a litigator, doing his Harvey things, as opposed to like being back at the office managing what's going on for the law firm and all the partners. The partners hate Harvey.
Yeah. Well, yes, they do. Most people hate Harvey. A lot of people hate Harvey. So let's be clear. Harvey does a good job of making these enemies. But Harvey, I think Harvey is very similar to one of his idols in the great Michael Jordan.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Where this man is the person who you want to have him on the basketball court making the shot. You want to give Harvey the ball.
How about as an executive?
Right. Is this the guy you want to be the owner of your franchise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask the Hornets, you know, and I just don't know. Right. And so I think for Harvey, yeah, there are people who should be in charge. There are people who should be running the Bobcats. There are people who should be making the calls. And then there's somebody who you just know that if you put the ball in their hand on the court, they are going to make the shot. And Harvey knows that he's Michael Jordan. He does. He just really just didn't want to feel like a failure at his other job. You know, you could even compare Harvey to maybe a Magic Johnson, where, yeah, give him the ball, it's Magic. But you put him in the front office and he might not be there next time. You know, he's not going to quit like Magic did. But you definitely probably could make better decisions on who you want making those decisions, you know?
Okay.
I like Harvey. On the court. I like Harvey in the law, in court. You know, I much prefer seeing Harvey do that part of his job as opposed to the managing of other partners.
All right, let's talk about then where this all comes to be here in episode 1 of season 8, final 16 episode season of Suits that we will cover here on our journey. If you can believe it or not, only 25 episodes left. Final 25 after today, Chappelle.
Crazy. This is wild. How did we get here so quickly?
I don't know, but we're here. And so we picked things up like minutes after the wedding, which, I mean, also feels like wild that we don't even see Mike and Rachel, considering that this episode picks up like, you know, at like a couple of hours after the ceremony ends, that we don't see like Mike swing by. Like, I don't know, like Mike and Rachel have left like from the wedding to Seattle. Like they had like, all right, we're getting married at 10, and then we've got our flights at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, they said, we're going to the honeymoon. And Harvey's like, so after the honeymoon? And he's like, no, there is no after the honeymoon. You will never see me again, ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, while we see Robert Zane and Harvey talking about getting a cheeseburger, then we go right to figuring out, okay, how is this all going to work? Now, even though Robert Zane said in the last episode his name is going to go first, he doesn't seemingly want that anymore.
No, the object here is to keep Lewis's name last.
Yes.
Right? As long as you know that he's not in the same league as Robert Zane and Harvey, I think that's really the primary concern, because Lewis made the decision to make Robert name partner and to let him be first essentially on his own. You have to know Harvey's going to push back against that to some extent. Yeah. So I think Robert Zane is like, I will play ball here and allow you to be first name, because it's something bigger than the first name that I want. I don't care if my name is first, but I do care if you're in charge of me. And Robert Zane feels like somebody who needs to be in charge. So he's like, I will concede that you can have your name first, because later on when it's time for me to, for you to owe me a favor, I need you to owe me a favor as your new managing partner.
Okay, so Robert Zane and Harvey, they're going to engage in this like kind of like a proxy war of like, okay, I'll pick my champion, you pick your champion. Let's let them do battle, and then whoever ultimately is going to win out is going to decide who's going to be the managing partner. And so enter first Alex Williams. Now, Chappelle, I have to say that I kind of... Suits your Toronto York was showing, because I don't know if you caught this. So we see what Alex Williams is out jogging and Harvey is going to go to him. Mm-hmm. And I see Alex Williams runs right past the local Winners, which like, aha, I've been to Winners.
Hey, we've been there before. I don't think they have those in New York.
I don't think so. I've never seen one. Yes.
Man. The disappointment on my face the first time I went to Winners. It's also the last time I went to Winners. I was so sad.
Yeah.
I was like, Rob, I have to get out of here. I can't do it. There's nothing for me here. Sorry, I got to go.
Yeah. Winners is, for anybody who doesn't know, is sort of like the Canadian TJ Maxx, Marshalls. But
Mayor Ross.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so, and Alex Williams lives right next to one, apparently. And so he's like, hey, remember, Harvey, you said my name's going to be on the door. Remember?
Yeah, but I mean, this merger was out of Harvey's control. It was out of everyone's control.
Like, I wasn't
it had
here.
To happen. Yeah, he's like, I mean, what do you want me to do? And so Alex is like, okay, but promise I'm next. And Harvey's like, yeah, sure, of course, you're next. You're not next, like after you're after Robert Zane, it's you, Alex. You're my guy.
Yep. Now, do you feel like that we're getting Alex Williams set up to kind of be like the new Mike, where that he's the one that not necessarily where he's like, okay, my bleeding heart of like, we got to take these pro bono cases, but a little bit of like, Harvey, you said, and is a little bit like he's inherited a little bit of Mike's brattiness.
I think that it's less about him inheriting it and then more about Harvey assigning it to him. Mm-hmm. You know, Harvey is used to having Mike that he kicks around a little bit. You know, I told you to do something. You're here because of me. I'm in charge. You, I'm right. You're wrong. You're, you know, that kind of thing. I'm big. You're little. And he's been doing that to Mike for so long that with Mike gone, there's a void of energy there. And so it's like, Alex, you're senior partner, but you're not name partner. You're not managing partner. So I can still dunk on you a little bit, because Alex is, what we've seen, a highly capable lawyer. But throughout this episode, Harvey has seemed to have forgotten that. Mm-hmm. He's like, Alex, you're going to screw this up. I got to step in. And he's stepping all over Alex and, you know, trying to make sure that he is the one who ends up being managing partner. And so Alex is going to push back a little bit. So, yeah, I can see him being very bratty like Mike. But I think that he doesn't really have a lot of choices here. They're putting him between a rock and a hard place, because they keep lying to him about allowing him to handle his own cases and about being named partner.
Have we seen Alex actually be demonstrating that he is like a really good litigator? Like, I feel like that in Alex's cases, like, I feel like he kind of like, he had like the whole like extortion going on with like Bratton Gould. But I feel like that we haven't seen him do a lot of law in season 7.
Yeah, I don't think it's his fault. I think every time he's about to, you know, you get Mike who's like, Harvey, we got to shut this Alex thing down. He's like, what? Can I just do my job, please? You know, he had to come in and interrupt Mike Ross and be like, Mike Ross, you have signed a document saying you would stay out of this. Mm-hmm. Literally just stay out of it. I have it on paper. Mike Ross is like, God dang it, Harvey, can you get your friend? So yeah, I think if you let Alex have his way
cook.
And let him cook, then we'll actually see if he can cook. But even in this episode, when Harvey finds hears from Donna that things are going south, he's like, I got to step in. I got to shut this down, because Alex doesn't know what he's doing. Then why did you hire the guy? What's the point?
Yeah. All right. We're also going to meet Sam Wheeler, played by Katherine Heigl, the previously unseen right-hand person of Robert Zane, who apparently is a kickboxing enthusiast.
Yeah, they said she looks like she can whoop people's ass. And Robert Zane looks and is like, yeah, she probably could take me. Yeah, she's in there doing good work. And I think you need somebody else like this, because prior to this, Harvey is the person who we're most concerned about. We know that Harvey whoops some ass physically. We know Robert Zane ain't scared, you know, because he ran up on Harvey a couple times. He threw Harvey around a little bit. But we needed somebody else who's going like, you know, when the law runs out, they're just going to start swinging.
Right.
And so we bring in Katherine Heigl as Samantha Wheeler.
It seems like that this is a big part of like the ethos of Suits in that in order to be a successful litigator, you have to also, like, if the law is not working out for you, you have to also then be able to resort to, like, and if I can't beat you in court, I'll kick your goddamn ass.
Kick your goddamn ass. I think that, yeah, I think there's the people that you want in the ring are physically in the ring outside of the courtroom, right? So it's like, yeah, this is the guy I want fighting for me. Why? Because they can actually fight. I think there's probably like a parallel that Suits is trying to draw to. This person is going to get in the ring and she's going to swing. Harvey's always going to hit first. Samantha's always going to hit first. You know, these are just people who are, that when you put them, when you unleash them, they're going to fight. And that's what they're doing. They're characterizing them by that, by showing that they can actually fight in real life.
Okay. So as far as the Alex Williams versus Samantha Wheeler goes, you know, Harvey's getting involved. He said he wasn't going to. We're going to find Judge Thomas, not that Judge Thomas.
Not that Judge Thomas. shout out to Sister Act Back in the Habit. That old habits die hard. Not that Thomas. Yeah. So the issue here is that we have Samantha Wheeler, and she is supposed to be making, her and Alex are in a battle to see if they can make one of Harvey's clients or Robert Zane's clients drop their manufacturing division, because those divisions overlap. And it would be a conflict of interest if you had two of the same clients in the same division. So you have to make sure that you get rid of that one division so that the other one can flourish. But it's a little bit of like a little reverse psychology thing going on here, because Harvey and Robert Zane cannot go do it. They've already agreed that I'm going to concede this to you. I'm going to let you be the one to make the drop or whatever, because if I let you do it, then I can come in and I can be managing partner, because you would have had one over on me, right? I'm going to allow my side to drop the manufacturing side. And then because I took that L, you have to take the next L. And so while they're presenting that, Sam and Alex are in the background, like, trying to make sure that the opposite happens. Like, I need to get your side to drop. So we're like, well, your side dropped, so I guess we get to be managing partner now on my side. It was very cool. The problem is that Harvey cannot stay out of it. He is so determined to be managing partner and to not lose to Robert Zane, to not let Robert Zane come into his house and take over, that he's like, all right, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my word that I'm not going to do this. But I'm also going to go back on my word very quickly and make sure that what happens happens. Yeah.
Okay. Ultimately, Donna is going to have some words with Harvey and try to remind him about the things that he likes doing and get Harvey to kind of see the light.
Yeah, but I think this is Donna's fault.
No.
because Donna goes to Harvey at some point and she says, Harvey, just letting you know, Alex is losing this thing. It does great. And she says, here's the contract of sale from Alex's case. And Harvey's like, wait, what? He's like, yep, the contract of sale. Alex is dropping the Alex is losing this thing. They're dropping the manufacturing division. This is a problem. And Harvey's like, wait, okay, that's it. I got to take over now. And I was like, wait, you can't take over. You gave him your word that you would not take over. Then Donna, if you didn't want Harvey to take over, why did you give him that information? Why did you come to him completely unprovoked and say, this is not working for Alex, he's going to lose? You should have just said nothing. You should have said nothing. Harvey stays out of it. Then Alex loses. And then Harvey doesn't have to break his word. But because you bring this to him, he reacts. And so Donna's like, wait, Harvey, maybe you're overreacting because Mike just left. Have you thought about that? And Harvey's like, I don't even care. Mike left. I'm sad about it. But yes, I could be overreacting, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm about to lose the case. Why did you tell me? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Harvey goes about, Donna agrees, of course, to, okay, well, I'll go find the judge. I'll help you out. Harvey does what Harvey does. He interferes. And then at the end of the day, Robert Zane is like, oh, Harvey, you played right into my hands. We knew you wouldn't be able to not interfere. Here you are. You just handed me managing partner. You proved to everybody that you can't do this because you can't allow anybody else to shoot the ball. And so that's what leaves Donna to saying, yeah, Harvey, that's not you. You're the person who wants to shoot the ball. Get back out there. Stop trying to manage people.
We need you.
And yeah, get back there in the game.
You're not managing partner material. And so him and Robert Zane come to an understanding that Robert Zane is going to be the managing partner for now. We'll see. Are they switching offices?
Yeah. So Harvey wants his old office back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants his old office back. I think and
Suits like, okay. Loses me with like the office shuffle. Like, I don't know, can't tell one. I think that the office that Harvey is in now has like built-ins that his records go in, and in his old office that they were in a bookcase. That's the only difference I can tell.
Well, Harvey has a nice view as well in his old office. I mean, Jessica has a view too, but it's not the same. Like, I do prefer Harvey's office, his old office, to the new office. And he gets it back, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
They just like refuse to change set pieces here. They're just like, okay, we just got to keep using these same four and just make it make sense. And that's okay with me. But yeah, Harvey and Robert Zane have an agreement that Robert Zane's kind of in charge for the time being. But I would stop down and say that based off of what I saw in this episode, I'm really thinking that the show is presenting Lewis as a viable third option.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on that. And so Lewis ends up in the beginning of this episode. We see a little bit of, is there trouble in paradise where Sheila is telling that Lewis, he can't get a certain type of cat.
Okay, here I go. I did this before. I'm gonna do it again. Lewis, I think you love Sheila a lot, and I think it shows, and I kind of think that she's taking advantage of that a little bit. You know, Lewis,
here we go.
He's trying to get his cat, you know, apparently this particular cat is a hairy one, and Sheila's like, no, absolutely not. We're gonna do short haired cats. And he's like, okay, fine. But this is, again, Lewis conceding a lot here. You know, like I said, the whole fight for Sheila's attention, where he was the side dude and all of a sudden he, you know, he's sleeping with her. But then she's like got him fighting with Xander, and then he's dropping the case against Xander, and Xander's talking crazy to him. And then she's like, no, I want you. It's always been you. It's like all of that kind of got me looking at Sheila crazy anyway. And so Katrina also, she's kind of in the Chappelle spot here. She sees what's happening. She's like, Lewis, are you sure that Katrina's looking at you as an equal in this relationship? Because we're not known to see you give up cats. And so she's very concerned that maybe Lewis is so in love with Sheila that he's willing to overlook his own personal needs to make sure that she's always happy all the time. And she's not able to do the same for him. So maybe a little trouble in paradise, but he tells us there's nothing to worry about.
Okay, so we're going to see that we're going to have some overlap here, much like back in the Edward Darby days when we had a merger. Okay, we have to see what sort of things that we are having, like too many of the same. And so we're going to have too many associates. We need to cut the bottom 10 associates. And so we see Katrina is going to want to take on this job. And so she cites Ned Stark here. And I thought that Lewis is more of a Lannister guy, but he has a lot of respect for Ned Stark.
Yeah, I think he just likes the idea of Ned Stark. I think that a lot of people, I think that Game of Thrones is another one of those shows where people really got invested in certain characters and aren't able to see the forest for the trees a lot of time when it comes to those characters. Ned Stark being the main culprits of that. Lewis does not give Ned Stark energy, but he does pretend that he does, right? His whole thing with Sheila is like, what, my honor is what's the question here? Like, I have to do the honorable thing. I've seen Lewis do very few honorable things on this show. You know, like, he's dishonorable more times than not, but just the evoking of Ned Stark's name was enough to get Lewis on board with Katrina, because she's like, I want to be the one to swing the killing blow here.
Yep. I want to just ask you a little bit about Katrina's character. Can you define Katrina as a character? Because I feel like that we get like a little bit of a setup here that she's kind of like, you know, she's like, she's Lewis's protege. But I also feel like that, unlike Lewis, like she's almost like robotic at times. Like she, like Lewis gives her a compliment about how, like, and she almost like that he says that, you know, I care for you deeply in a completely asexual manner. And then that he says to her, yeah, I too cared for you deeply see you as neither a man or a woman. She said, thank you, Lewis. Kinder words were never spoken. I just feel like that we, Katrina's like set up to be like very robotic in this episode.
Katrina has evolved into a very cold character for Suits. I think when she first started out, I don't think that was Katrina's natural original characterization on the show. But I think that we are led to believe that through her interactions, and you know, she's very cunning in the early stages, she's wheeling and dealing like everybody else is. I need to get this position. I need to get a job working here. I'm holding this over your head. But I don't think she came off cold to me. But now I think they really need her to be
cold. She's the same person that said to Rachel once upon a time, like, hey, just remember, lawyers sleep with the paralegals, but they marry the lawyers.
Yeah, that's a cold thing to say, but it comes from a very emotional place, right? It's like she was trying to shame Rachel emotionally. This wasn't a I put the facts into the computer and Rachel, this isn't going to work out for you. You know, that's a very different Katrina. I think this is the Katrina, the second one, where it's like, no, I use an algorithm to decide who I'm going to get rid of. I don't need to know the person. But I think Katrina's gotten there. I don't think it's abrupt. I just think that it is a shift from the Katrina that we knew, but just not a like complete 180. And so, yeah, we get Katrina, who does appreciate and like Lewis asexually. You know, you had brought up a couple episodes ago, they had a forehead kiss moment. And it was like, are we insinuating that Katrina and Lewis mm-hmm. could potentially? It's like, no, completely asexual. He looks at her in a non-gendered way as well. So she's like, nah, this is not maybe a romantic involvement, but we do get Katrina, the cold ice queen, I guess, is what they're trying to give us here in these episodes, to where she is so business oriented, so focused on her career that she doesn't see these people as people anymore. She just sees them as pieces.
Okay, so we get where she has the bottom 10 and we realize that Brian is in one of the bottom 10. Lewis goes to bat for Brian. You cannot fire Brian. She's like, what do you mean? He's one of the bottom 10. He's got to go.
Yeah. And Katrina used the algorithm called Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? What was it? she used her algorithm here to she used Patty. I mean, it's like the show is are they listening? Is the CIA agent listening to our podcast? We got a Patty. So she uses her Patty to determine who we should fire here. And it said for personal assessment, tallying, and totaling individual efficiency or whatever the case may be. All I know is our Patty's better. She does this instead of actually getting to know any of these.
Does her Patty tell her how many folders got slammed?
Probably. But mm-hmm. our Patty is not cold, you know. And Katrina, no. And I don't think Katrina has to be. But in this situation, she's really taking a efficiency aspect look at this, right? She says, Lewis told me to do a job. I'm going to use this algorithm to help me. When in reality, the reason she was given this job is because she knew associates on both sides. She knew she's worked at both law firms. So she should have enough information to make a decision like this. But she deferred to the computer. Almost like she has the Donna of her own, you know? And so she defers to that and it spits out the information that Brian needs to get cut. Everyone knows that Lewis loves Brian because he held that baby that one time. Mm-hmm. And so Lewis goes to bat for him. And Brian is a little indignant here because he's like, just because the numbers don't say I'm doing good work doesn't mean I'm not doing good work. And so him and Katrina ended up getting a war of words and he gets himself fired.
He gets himself fired. And after he's showing pictures of his baby to Katrina, then she fires him, which I almost feel like I kind of see it both ways where I feel like, you know, is Brian using the pictures of his baby as a shield of hey, I showed you pictures of my kid and then you fired me. What kind of a monster are you? Does Brian show pictures of his kids to Katrina on purpose hey, you can't fire me. I showed you my kids.
He said he heard the rumors that people were getting fired. So it's not like he didn't know. But I think that Brian and Katrina are on two different sides of the spectrum of caring about that kind of stuff. So Katrina does not care at all. And his child is his world, you know? And so she's like, I don't give a damn about your kids. And it does make it look like, probably from Katrina's perspective, that he is trying to use that as a shield, or that he's so concerned with his baby that he's not even talking about work. She keeps trying to divert the conversation. So what is this? How does this reflect, you know, in the office? He's like, mm-hmm. What? It's a baby. What are you talking about? So they're just on two different pages here. And so after he tells Katrina that, you know, she's a robot who only cares about her job, she's like, all right, just because of that, go get wrecked, Brian. You can go.
And it turns out that we find out from Donna later on in the episode that, and Lewis, his head explodes when he finds out that Brian got fired. But Donna ends up pulling Katrina aside and says, hey, who are the top performers? And Donna, Katrina points out where they sit. Turns out Brian, kind of a glue guy, good clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
He has intangibles.
Yeah. These are my people. You know, put me in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm facilitating some stuff. I might not be. I'm not Harvey. But
you
I'm
got
just
pretty good stats.
I do put up good stats, but I think there are people who have higher highs.
You know, I just had Sam run the numbers on the top 50 podcasters, and you came in pretty good.
Yeah, but I think it is due to my proximity in the middle. I think that because I have a
Sam, fire the bottom 10 podcasters while we're at it.
Listen, do you need me to make a list?
No.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I was gonna say, pull your count your days.
I think he already has one. To be fair.
Oh yeah, that's probably true. Sam has his own agenda here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that you need somebody in the room who is going to make other people happy to come to work. And with somewhere in the middle, you have somebody who they can all go to for questions. Everyone is going to Brian to facilitate some of the growth that they're having. And so yeah, you kind of need
Brian.
We
love Brian.
No. I don't love Brian. I'm not a fan, actually. I did not like him in this episode at all. I thought that, you know, he was so incredulous. Like, you helped my baby, Lewis, and you just gonna fire me? Like, yeah. If you're doing poorly. I mean, to be fair, he was not doing poorly based off of what Donna said. But, you know, it's just the amount of it. He was so indignant about it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, come on, man. You have a kid. It's fine. But throwing that in Katrina's face, like, some of us have lives outside of here. And we're not all just living and breathing the law firms. Because she's like, I would love to have a life, but I'm trying to do good work, Brian. So, yeah, not the greatest look for Brian for me. I don't need to see much more of him.
Okay, well, what do you think then of then Katrina's going to fire Bridget? I kind of thought she was going to cave on firing Bridget.
She looked like it was hurting her a lot to do it. You know, this is the same cold ice princess that everybody's like, she's a robot. She hates people. Da, 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 da. It's like, nah, this really did. She struggled with this, but she knew she would. That's why she asked for the position. She said, I need to get experience doing that kind of stuff so that I can move forward and grow as a person.
Yeah.
And part of that means I need to be able to stand here in front of somebody and fire them. And she was on the other side of that table before. Donna fired her. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. This happens. Or did Donna fire her or did Jessica fire her? Jessica fired her. And so it's like, yeah. Katrina's lived this life. So she needs to be able to dish it out too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it did look like she was going to cave, but she doesn't.
Yeah. I just feel like that we got all these partners running around, like our 10 associates bringing us down.
They do have a lot of partners.
But you know,
it's probably harder to fire the partners than it is the associates. Mm-hmm. You can cut some of the stuff at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Chappelle, who gets the Liddy in this episode? Season
I think Lewis
8, episode 1. Lewis Litt gets the Liddy.
Yep. I'm telling you, for some reason, the tone of this episode felt to me like everyone comes to Lewis. So with Katrina, he comes
to
like,
Lewis. Definitely,
Lewis, well, you can definitely push back. But Lewis, you know, he does save Brian, which is cool. You know, he helped the baby. But he very much put his foot down. You know, Katrina comes to him and is like, I don't feel comfortable saving Brian because my algorithm said that he got to go. And Lewis says, I don't care what you feel comfortable doing. I'm in charge. And, you know, that's some of the definitive, you know, decision making that we see from a managing partner. Mm-hmm. Also, when it came time to dropping each other's clients, Lewis was the one who sat Robert Zane and Harvey down and said, look, I've already ran the numbers. I need y'all to drop a client. I already know where the conflict is coming. So let's talk it out. He was the middle guy for that conversation. I think that Lewis is kind of settled into the Jessica spot in this episode. And I think that he's probably the only person who had his eye on the ball. While Robert Zane and Harvey were doing this Cold War thing, Lewis was actually managing the firm, which is the whole point of these conversations in the first place. And so I think that I'm not going to be, like I said, I'm not high on Lewis a lot.
Yeah.
But I do think that for Lewis, there was no drama involving him, and everything that he did probably was the right move.
What about Donna?
Donna did some good too, you know, with her really pushing Katrina to making the
Robert
right move.
Robert Zane seems impressed with her too.
Hey, yeah, he didn't stop calling Donna Red, you know, unless she's like, if yeah,
I think
know,
she likes
like
it. Samantha,
I think that's for her to tell us. Mm-hmm. She hasn't said anything. We have not.
I feel
not
like that if she didn't like it, I feel like that Donna would clap back.
Yeah, I mean, Samantha definitely tells Alex, like, I prefer Samantha to Sam. Thank you. And so, yeah, I think that Donna probably has a good episode as well. Because, again, he's being normal. And Lewis, though, is being normal, right? He goes to Alex and finds him going through the files, too, because Alex is ready to fight. He's mm-hmm. ready to fight. He's like, I'm ready to go up against Robert Zane. And all this other stuff. Like, I can tell that I'm being pushed away. I really need to get my foot in the game. And Lewis tells him something that Lewis has been hearing throughout the show, which is, you have the opportunity to make a friend here. Do not use this opportunity to make an enemy. We heard Lewis get this speech when it came to Jeff Malone. We heard him get this speech when it came to Alex. And now he's the one giving the speech. So, yeah, I think somewhere in the world, in the realm of Donna and Lewis, they were the most well-adjusted humans in this episode. I just kind of looking at Donna crazy, because why did you send Harvey after that, Judge? What are you doing?
Okay. All right. So, Liddy for Lewis here. We mentioned Game of Thrones is the one major reference that comes up. We've got a couple questions here for season 8, episode 1. And of course, you know, we're a little bit ahead still, so you can go ahead and still continue to send us your questions. But David writes in, Izzy Stevens is here.
Izzy effing Stevens. You know, for the OG Grays people, I see y'all out there. We're squinting. We're trying to figure out where this is going. Izzy took us on a roller coaster ride. Please don't say the word LVAD to me. I flinch every time I hear it. Yeah, we got her. And it seems like we got her for the long haul because she is a series regular. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen next. Okay.
David also wants to know, put your bets in now. Who will be the next name partner, Gus or Izzy? I feel like that both. We see Alex Williams and Samantha Wheeler both get promised they will be the next name partner. A little bit more of an ultimatum from Samantha Wheeler, who says, I want name partner within the year. How many names can we have as a name partner?
That one law firm was very long.
Spectre like, Lit Zane Wheeler Williams.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen long names before. I think that's too many, though. I do think it's either one or the other. I don't see any.
I think you can just get to four. Five's tough.
Five's tough because it doesn't have a good ring to it either. You know, it's like it's too many names. Wheeler Williams is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't know. I don't know. I feel like.
I mean, Zane and Litz like are one syllables. That helps, but.
Robert Zane seemingly cares about Samantha Wheeler more than Harvey cares about Alex Williams. You know, like it just Alex is just not impressing Harvey right now. And so
goddamn right hand woman. But she, right. But I'll be damned if she came to my daughter's wedding.
Yeah, we've never seen this woman before. Samantha Wheeler is an interesting character here because her and Harvey kind of have like a meeting as well, because you would think Samantha versus Alex is what we're seeing here, but it does feel like it's Samantha versus Harvey. You know, she comes in like, Harvey, you're my kind of guy. He's like, I don't like you. She's like, yeah, I know, but I like you. You know, because we're both from the same place.
So she gave him the finger, right?
Yeah, she did.
It's like a Brian Heidick thing.
Uh-huh. But they're both from Riverside, Rob.
Yeah.
You caught that? You know, so that's a different type of neighborhood. We don't feel like we belong. Rob, I know nothing about Riverside, New York.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about... So I looked up Riverside, New York, which I guess apparently is on Long Island. I did not get that Harvey was...
It's your neighborhood.
Yeah, Suffolk County. So feels like a small place to... You know, they wouldn't have known each other.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Yeah, Riverside, New York is like, I think it's like the Hamptons.
Nah, he's from Riverside, so he feels like an outsider, even when he's amongst them. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what does that mean? Is Harvey from the other side of the tracks? Because the Hamptons doesn't sound like that. From my Texas view of the Hamptons, that sounds like a pretty nice place to be from. I wouldn't feel like an outsider.
I mean, if anybody has like a little bit more insight into Riverside, New York... We'd love to hear about it. So there's Riverside, which is Buffalo. I don't think that we're saying that it is all the way from Buffalo. And then there is Riverside in Suffolk County, which is kind of, which is like the Hamptons. There's also Riverside in Steuben County, which is also like, you know, very far, like upstate, not near the city at all.
Yeah, maybe that's why he felt like an outsider. I don't know, but she uses it to bond with Harvey. She's like, we're both from Riverside, so you know, even though we're in there and we feel like we need to earn people's respects. And he's like, yeah, I got you, but you also said you grew up on a farm, so which one is it? And she never clarifies which one it is. I don't think she's from Riverside.
I don't know. It's just like all the way out on Long Island.
Yeah. I got nothing. I did not know what this was supposed to mean. And I can't tell you if she was lying or not. Mm-hmm. Because she says there's three types of people. People who, one, won't catch that she's
lying.
Could
be a fictional place, Riverside, New York.
No, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't just make up a fake place. They've been doing, they have not acknowledged that they've been in Toronto this whole time. Mm-hmm. So they're not just going to be like, Riverside. And then like try to make it a big plot point. Because Harvey caught on that she had said she was from a farm before, and he called her on it. And that's the type of person that she wants to be working alongside or against or whatever the case may be. So she respects Harvey because he had the guts to tell her that you might not be from Riverside. You're a liar. I just don't know why I'm supposed to care about him being from Riverside. I really thought you were going to come in and be like, yeah, Riverside, where men are men. You know, like I don't really know what that's supposed to mean for Harvey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And it's Riverside, Connecticut, but they said Riverside, New York, right?
Yeah, so he grew up in Riverside, New York. That's what the wiki says.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right, Chappelle, anything else that you want to talk about here from our season 8 premiere?
No, not from the season 8 premiere. Of course, we do have the Facebook page where I'm always like looking at the feedback that we get from the people who know the law. And a couple of episodes ago, you and I asked about the legal library at Pierce's Spectre Lit. Remember?
You got an update?
Misty Ramirez says that she's a 23-year research associate chiming in on Rachel's stack of books. Most law firms and courts have law libraries, but the vast majority of legal research is now done online on databases like Lexis or Westlaw. I've been using the same online databases since 2000. There were times I'd go back to books for some very archaic or old treatise on a issue or a topic, but that was rare. And so, yeah. Every now and then you got to roll out the books, but that's when it's like too old to have been archived into, you know, some online database that's easily accessible. So that makes sense. Also, I think I'd asked about Scadden because their name keeps coming up. I'm like, are we ever going to see the people from Scadden? And Lee Manning says, in answer to the question in the podcast, I don't think we'll see Scadden, the law firm they mentioned, because it's a real law firm. I've noticed that they often use real law firm names as long as we never see a lawyer from that firm. Whenever they list out a few high power law firms, the list is always real New York law firms. It's interesting. It's interesting the mix of real and fictional that they do with the law firms and companies. And then Andrew says, yes, Scadden is a major New York firm, which a RHAP podcast actually formerly worked at.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Incredible.
And I think we can use process elimination to figure out who that is.
Think so.
Okay. Yeah. Jacob Jones.
Yes. Yes.
Formerly of Scadden.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Jacob Jones went to law school with Mike Ross, I believe. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Same one.
Yes. All right. So, Chappelle, anything else to say here for season 8?
I think that season 7 ended weird.
It did.
But I don't think that season 8 is starting weird. I'm actually kind of invested again. I think that season 6 is a low point of Suits that really, I think, shoots them in the foot. I think it runs off a lot of people. It makes the idea that Suits is a great show become like, it's a goodish show. It's good, but then there's moments. I think that season 7 did a lot for the show to bring it back. And I think that we're starting anew almost with season 8. And so I'm excited to see where we go from here and to see if they can finish strong. You know, like you said, 26 episodes left. Let's see if we can stick the landing.
I think what's really interesting is that we go from the season 7 finale airs on April 25th, 2018. And then It's not even 3 months until July 18th, 2018 is the season 8 premiere. I mean, isn't that wild to have like 2.5 months in between seasons of a show?
Yeah, this definitely feels like they're trying to rush these shows out, you know, and it's odd because, you know, starting a season right at the beginning of the summer is like, okay. It does feel weird. Like, I think that maybe when this is all said and done, because I really don't want to spoil myself. I have no clue how this show ends. I want to go and do maybe some deep dives into what exactly was going on to make this happen. Again, if only we could find somebody who knows something about the creation of this show who could answer the question that we have. Mm-hmm. We might need to start making a list.
Okay. All right. So we'll be back to talk about season 8, episode 2 tomorrow. Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
At Chappelle's underscore show on Twitter or at Chappelle TNT on Instagram.
All right. I'm at Rob Sesternino. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk about season 8, episode 2. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.